I was texting with Mikey B, our producer, about the Vegas trip, and I see what happens with Odell Beckham Jr. I say, oh, man, looks like he tore his ACL. It's got to be rough, you know, just messing around with him because he gets hit by Body Calhoun. Brian Body Calhoun is what I'm going with right now until Bogus runs in and corrects me because that always seems to happen. So, you know, I see this hit, and I don't personally believe that that is a dirty hit. I don't believe that. The first thing I thought of when I watched that, though, was all the players we have talked to, you, other former NFL players, that used to say, before we learned so much about concussions, hit me in the head before you hit me in the knees. Mm-hmm. And with some of these new rules, now this is what we're going to see. So Brian Body Calhoun goes in, hits Odell Beckham Jr. in the knees, and it is an odd scene after that because he gets up, you think he's okay, he walks off under his own power, then he goes into the locker room on his own and then just collapses in a heap on his knees and is there for a little bit before a member of the Giants staff gets there. And you said drama queen? I thought the same thing. Are we bad people for thinking that he was playing this thing up?
No.
I mean, are we too cynical
No.
in thinking that this was played up a little bit?
If this was the first instance of him doing this, yeah, we still wouldn't be bad people. No. But this is not the first installment, nor the second installment, nor the third installment of this young, short, elaborate career of a superstar player. This is not the first time we've seen him act in this manner. And
With injuries, though. That's one thing. It's not like he's not like Ben Roethlisberger.
Listen,
where
the dude got hit. It looked as though it was worse than it was. It wasn't. He gets up. He's walking off the field. He goes back down. Eli comes over and puts his arm around him. Get your ass off the field. He got up as if he was fine.
Yeah.
Why you stop?
Yeah.
Get off the field. Then he goes on the sideline, sits over there, acts like the world is coming to an end. Then the training staff's, okay, let's go in the locker room, check this bad boy out. He walks, doesn't even get into the locker room. He's there in the tunnel, in the walkway, in the innards of the stadium, and he collapses again as if it's all over. Oh, damn, I've torn something. You know when you've torn something. You're a finely tuned athlete. You know when something's going awry.
Yeah.
Nothing ain't going awry other than his damn drama queenness.
Drama queenness? Yeah.
And then he gets up and he goes and he gets back on the cart and he's got the towel on his head.
Yeah.
I'm watching this dude. Really? You got to do it. Now you know why people want to knock his head off. Not only because he's a fabulous athlete, but because of this mess. Get off the damn field. How much more attention do you need? You're already getting a ton of it.
So when you see that hit at first, what's the injury that you think could come out of it?
Well, you saw the ankle. It caught a little bit.
But you think knee, though, right?
Well, you think knee. You think ankle.
More at his knee.
But you've seen worse ankle sprains in the NBA than what he suffered last night.
But how did he? I mean, it didn't look to me like the ankle was that big of a problem.
Well, you initially think knee because that's where the contact was above, just above the knee in the thigh area. And yes, you think that. But then you see the dude bounce up and he's walking off the field. D goes down. And when he initially bounces up, he's not limping. Eli comes after he goes down, puts his arm around him, he gets up and he starts limping.
Yeah.
What the hell was that?
I really do think there was something to that. And I don't know for a fact if he knew that the camera was right on him.
Camera's always on him.
When he dropped to his knees. But if he did and he felt that, and then decided to go that route, then that's pretty bad. Now, we'll see what this injury ends up being. Now, it says sprained ankle, of course. And when he was asked, high ankle sprain, low ankle sprain, he goes, well, I'm not a doctor or whatever. He gave some sort of quip in the post-game news conference.
You know.
But if this keeps him out for any extended period of time, then I'll apologize to him. But this, to me, looked like a guy who didn't like the way he got hit. Knew it was a preseason game, is someone who is a showman in many ways, realizes that people are going to make a big deal out of that. Didn't like the hit probably either because he's thinking this could have really done some damage to me. I'm going to make a point with this. And then acted a little bit.
And then his buddy, Jarvis Landry, who's a dynamite wide receiver in his own right, He jumps in on it. This is why you hate preseason. Yes, everyone hates preseason, but it's necessary. It is necessary. And a play like that, you want to expect someone to blow out a knee or whatever, but that happens at times. And fortunately for Odell Beckham Jr., it didn't happen in this occurrence, but that happens. And you have these injuries that happen when no one touches you. Teddy Bridgewater, no one touched him. You have been other athletes who have sustained injuries during the preseason where nothing happened. And Bridgewater was during the season, of course, or that was right before the season. Chill out, dude. No one wants to go through preseason, especially when you're a vet. And these guys have been in the league now 3-4 years at the most. But we understand you don't want to go through it. We just had this discussion, a week or so ago about the fifth preseason game. No one wants to be involved in that, but it's necessary. You have to get yourself in football shape. And as far as the hit, I used to always grapple with offensive linemen about going low. But we learn, especially growing up in West Texas, you're taking on option teams. They're going to cut block. So you learn at a very young age how to use your hands, how to get your outside leg back, and make sure they can't cut block you. But when you get to the pros, it's a more traditional offenses, and still that was employed at times, especially Alex Gibbs, a longtime offensive line coach for the Denver Broncos. And so you knew to use your hands, but you would still be upset when guys went for your legs because you're thinking your career's over.
Yeah.
And now with the new protocols as far as headhunting and all that, and you had a play in this game. This is when Brandon Marshall actually went out. Jabril Peppers popped him pretty good, put the shoulder into him, and initially threw the flag, then they picked it up, as they should have. But guys have to now readjust the target. It should be that midsection. Calhoun went a little bit lower than you would like, but I don't think it was intentional.
Well, and maybe it was and if it is, I don't even care. So he's got a couple of options here when he is about to make this tackle. Mind you, the guy's about 5'8", 5'9". Right? So think about that for a second. You've got Odell Beckham Jr., who is the most explosive and dangerous yard-after-catch guy that there is in the NFL right now. I think the Tyreek Hill is also there, but Odell Beckham Jr. is a guy who catches a football and then goes. That's it. Boom. He's gone. He can break tackles. He can get away from you. It's game-changing. So I understand this is a preseason game, but when you're out there, as I've learned from you, and you're a guy who is trying to keep a job, earn a job, solidify a job, you're going to go out there and you're going to play football. It's very tough not to play football in a football game. So he's got a couple options. Does he go up high and get a flag and potentially a fine or whatever else the NFL wants to do if he hits him in the head? Okay, can't do that. And he would have to probably even launch himself up because he's so small. Okay, does he try to wrap up Odell Beckham Jr. at 5'8", this guy that can break tackles and then go run into the end zone and try to hit him in the middle or try to wrap up? It's probably not going to work if you get yelled at in the film session. So what does he do? He takes out his legs to make sure he doesn't go anywhere after he catches the football.
Right.
And guess what? It's not a penalty. I mean, is that a penalty on a wide receiver? It is on a quarterback. It is on a chop block. But on a wide receiver, that tackle is a legal tackle.
Right.
So why wouldn't that be your plan of attack if you're Body Calhoun last night?
Yeah,
like a wrestler.
It does. I think there was one back in the day. Back in my day, Calhoun was a left. Haystacks Calhoun. There you go. The wrestling aficionado. Haystacks Calhoun. Big man. Back in the day. Take his wheels out from under him. That's what you have to do. You want to slow this guy down, you go low on him. And we've seen guys go low, usually a little bit lower than that. You get down there around the ankles. But this was right above the knee, and he went down immediately, and his foot almost stuck in the ground, that left foot, and that's where he tweaked the ankle. But after all that, man, get up off the damn field. I remember playing here at Giants Day, and we had a running back who was a prima donna, and the guy laid down for damn near, it seemed like an hour. Then he finally gets up, and he's holding his wrist. Really? Really? You sorry, my father. What, get off the field.
Was it a broken wrist?
Yeah, it wasn't even broken.
Like, okay.
Come on, man.
I think that there's times that guys suffer legitimate injuries and they're in massive pain.
Yes, that happens. But your wrist, come on. Let's get off the field.
Let's listen to Odell Beckham
Jr. Do we have to?
After the game. Sure. Why not? We can't just crush the guy and not hear his side.
Okay, let's hear his side and then crush him some more.
He said, feels like a sprained ankle.
Feels like a Sprained ankle, I don't know. A rolled ankle, I don't know. Feels like, you know, when you hurt your ankle, it's kind of what it feels like, but it'll be all right.
That's a jerk comment. Yeah, you know what it feels like when you hurt your ankle? It feels like that.
And I'm sure it's not the first time he's sprained an ankle. He's played other sports. He's been playing football a long time. You sprain your ankle and you keep going. That was a sprained ankle, a tweaked ankle. Keep going. We've seen guys roll their ankles worse than that. Kawhi Leonard, when he rolled his ankle, he had help from Pachulia.
Mm-hmm.
It was worse than that. And he still went back out and played a little bit. This guy gets up, goes back down, gets up, starts limping all of a sudden, goes to the sideline, then he jogs to the locker room. Before he even gets to the locker room, goes down again. What a drama. There's something else you'd call him, but you can't call him.
This is Odell Beckham Jr. when he was asked if he thinks he's going to play again this preseason.
It's up to coach and the training staff, and just see what we do, where we go from here. I don't necessarily know, but going there tomorrow and we'll get a look at it.
What are you going to tell you? That's what they did when you got on the plane. They put some ice on it. Go in there and look at it tomorrow. Look at this.
Look at it.
Gosh.
And when he says it's up to coach, it reminds me of all the people that complain about preseason football. If the coaches are the ones making the decisions on their star players and they know full well what each guy means to the team, then they believe that that time that they have in the preseason is important to their regular season success. So if you want to blame anybody for putting the players at risk in the preseason, put the blame on the coaches because they're the ones making the decisions on whether or not to play the guys. So if they wanted to make sure that these guys were totally healthy, they'd never put them in a preseason game. But they're putting them in preseason games. So they think it's that important. So we could talk about getting rid of all these preseason games. It's not realistic.
No, it's not. And you know what you'd complain about next? You'd complain about week one and week two.
Yeah.
Because essentially that becomes your preseason. And that's how it is in college football. You don't really know what you're working with. You have an idea from practice, from scrimmaging each other, but it's not until you see a different color jersey, whether it's preseason or regular season, when you really have more of an understanding of what type of team you have on your hand. So it's a necessary evil. No one likes it, but you find a way to play the right way. You find a way to practice the right way and get through it. I was hurt three times in preseason. Three times sucks. And the last time, no one touched me. It sucks. Yes, but it's part of it. And there's a reason Joe Thomas didn't play last night. But Joe Thomas, the longtime tackle for the Browns, has been in the league 10 years. He doesn't need to play. You know what he's going to do? The guy hasn't missed a game. He's played beaten up.
Yeah, and the New York Giants are smart enough to understand how important Odell Beckham Jr. Right. is. So if they're going to put him in there, they believe that it's important that he gets those reps.
Get the reps and then get him out of there. He probably would have been done after that series or whatever, just like Eli.
And there might not even be anything really wrong here. This whole preseason football discussion coming up, we're acting as if his leg got amputated
right.
last night. I mean, he could be back tomorrow.
Trauma queen.
It could be a nothing injury. This guy who works for ESPN, I think I've heard his name before, Don Van Natta. He is an author and he's a reporter for ESPN. His tweet with the video, the GIF of this hit, was getting some play last night because he had a very extreme take on it. Mm-hmm. He said, quote, "If you do this in a preseason game, you should be suspended for the caps, all caps." So he's serious about this. The entire regular season. That was his take on it. The entire regular season. I understand the importance of making sure that the game is safer.
Right.
And I totally get when guys go after knees that it could change a guy's season. It could impact the contract. But I want to know what else you're doing here within the rules
right.
of the game that is the right play. I mean, you were on the field in college and in the pros. I was a terrible offensive lineman for Belport High School. Am I wrong in my assessment of his options at that moment to make the tackle?
No, you're not. And ideally, would you want him to be a little bit higher, right there around the waist? Yeah. That's where you'd want him to make that tackle. No one wants to be hit low, but wide receivers know that the DBs are going to go low on them. They always get undercut. They understand that. And he didn't get as low or get closer to the midsection as he would have liked or Odell Beckham Jr. would have liked. But it wasn't a dirty hit. Wasn't going out trying to take the guy out. But more people are going to try to take him out because he's a drama queen. He's placed even more of a target on his back.
You think that that's the assessment from his peers?
Yes.
And not like respect because he's one of the...
They respect him. He's a hell of a football player.
Yeah.
He's an incredible athlete. Incredible. You respect that. That's why he's circled on the grease board. Every day you have installation. Watch 13. But that is, there's more fodder now for you to go out and try to knock his head off.
Well, I also think the book on him is you can get under his skin.
True.
And that affects his game. So that's not a good thing to have either. I mean, he seems like he runs, and we talked about this plenty last year with his incidents and antics, is that the guy runs very hot when it comes to emotions on the field. He has a tough time controlling them. So we'll
see. That's obvious.
Yeah, we will see.
He has a tough time discerning when it's time to limp and not to limp. Let's see. I initially got hit, and I got up, and I walked. Then I went down. Is it time to limp now?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to limp. And then I'm going to go to the sideline. I'm going to soak a little bit. Then I'm going to jog. Not limp. I'm going to jog to the locker room. I'm not going to get to the locker room all the way. Then I'm going to go down in a heap again.
Going there tomorrow, and we'll get a look at it.
It's not a good thing that I don't put it past him that he totally was exaggerating this injury. I mean, I think that's a real possibility. So, I mean, if watch, you know, because we did this open, we'll find out he's out for, you know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, you know, because we just
slammed the guy. Well, I'm not apologizing. Even if he is out for 6 weeks, you don't do that. You got up, get off the field. Could have gotten off the damn field. He holding up the game like there's another solar eclipse or something. Get off.
Was the like another solar eclipse or something? Was that hit on Odell Beckham Jr. a dirty one or not? 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Bogus update. Your calls. A lot of show left. Keep it right here.
Give us a call right now. 855-212-4CBS.
When most of the people see you drop to two knees in a heap in supposed pain, that most of those people don't believe that you're really in that much pain, which is what was going on with Odell Beckham Jr. last night in that Monday Night Football game against the Browns. 855-212-4CBS. Was Odell Beckham Jr. playing this up last night, and was that a dirty hit? 855-212-4227. We'll get to your calls this segment. First, Bogus is here. What's going on, Andrew?
Well, boys, before the OBJ injury scare, a dozen or so Browns knelt in a circle for the national anthem last night in Cleveland. Others put their hand on a kneeling player's shoulder pad as a sign of support. The team issued a statement during the game to say it loved America, the flag, and the players' right to express themselves. Head coach Hugh Jackson said the same thing postgame.
We respect our players. We respect the flag. Those guys came to me and talk to me about it before they ever made a decision to do it.
Jackson also said he hopes to pick his starting QB by tomorrow, so keep kissing up, Brock Osweiler.
We're very fortunate to play for a great football coach here, and I know he'll make a great decision.
Osweiler, 6 of 8 for 25 yards and a pick in two series last night. DeShone Kizer threw for 74 yards and ran for the only touchdown. The Browns beat the Giants 10-6. Beckham will undergo further evaluation today at home in Jersey. X-rays last night were negative. The team calling his injury a sprained left ankle for now. Beckham hurt in the second quarter on a low but clean hit from Brian Body Calhoun.
I did get it right then.
Yeah.
Wow. And I went back to the old pronunciation guide that screwed me up last time and got this one right.
Nice. Yeah, and I listened to McDonough say it.
Yeah, well,
that's on TV too. So
yeah, no, that
double
too.
He's
going to be one of those guys you can always lean on to get it right because
exactly.
He's such a pro.
This was not the ending the Red Sox were looking for in Cleveland.
He bunts it back toward the mound, picked by the first baseman, double clutch, throw gets away from Devers. Here comes Guyer with a winning run. Tribe wins it on a walk-off bunt and throwing error.
The error from Brock Holt, 6-5, the final.
Screaming throwing error doesn't sound right. You know, you're that excited. A throwing error!
You also can't have a walk-off bunt plus throwing error. It just is not a thing.
No.
6-5.
It was a thing last night.
Was the final. Tom Hamilton had the call on Indians Radio. The Sox led 4-3 entering the bottom of the eighth. Cleveland reliever Andrew Miller left in the seventh after aggravating his right knee tendonitis. The Twins split 2 in Chicago with the White Sox, a 7-6 loss, then a 10-2 win, while the Angels fell at home to the Rangers 5-3. So Minnesota now leads Anaheim for the second AL wild card by a half game. The Diamondbacks snapping a 3-game skid, 3-2 in 10 at the Mets. Then the Brewers were shut out in San Francisco 2-0. So Arizona's lead on Milwaukee for the second NL wild card is now 3.5 games. The Brewers also fall 2.5 behind the idle Cubs in the Central. Alabama's number one in the preseason AP college football poll for the fourth time under Nick Saban. And Victoria Azarenka withdrawing from next week's U.S. Open as she and the father of her infant son go through the custody process. Azarenka tweeted last week she was unwilling to come to New York if she had to leave her son behind in California. Boys?
Thanks, Bogish. You didn't get to Yogi yesterday, right?
No.
Did you get a nap in?
I got none of that.
Yeah, see, I knew it. See, I knew the ingredients
6:30.
I knew the ingredients that produced Cantankerous Brian this morning. I know you all too well. If you get a little bit of shut eye, that's great. Or you get a workout in, you come in a little bit more positive. But today was Cantankerous Brian, which is, and you got Odell Beckham Jr. to compound that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was to finish the night off after doing 3 college football shows. Hey, first world problems.
855-212-4CBS. Chris in Portland on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Hey, fellas. Love the show. Get a good laugh from you every night. I look forward to it.
Well, thanks, Chris. What's going on this morning?
I'm with you guys. I think that was just quite a fiasco. I noticed the same thing when he started limping the second time he got up. I always thought to myself, you know, I sprained my ankle not too long ago, and it was a bad sprain, and I knew then and there. I mean, there was no jogging around and then, you know, falling down and getting back up. I mean, I was standing there on one leg, you know, and I could, you know, you could not move. The guy might have just limped his way off my fantasy roster. He might have.
Well, that wouldn't be smart.
Exactly, Chris. You know, you sprain your ankle, you can walk off the curb or something, sprain it worse than he did last night, and you don't act like he did.
That's not something that kicks in, you know, 2 minutes later. But anyway, he's a great player, man. But he's got to be a lot of work for the coaching staff. I feel for those guys. I mean, just if you look at everything from last year's drama and this kind of crap, that's just a lot of work for a coach, man.
Yeah, and good call, Chris. I would not move on from him from your fantasy roster because of this, because you know he's still going to produce. I mean, the guy is just magic on the field most of the time. So I would not do that despite some of this stuff. But what would be alarming to me, if I was a member of the Giants organization or I was a Giants fan, what would be really alarming to me would be that last year, before that Green Bay game, you had that whole deal, and we did not give him crap for that at all. The whole boat thing, the week of the playoff game, if you wanted to go down there, fine. Yeah, he took some pictures, really looked like an idiot. But he went through a lot of drama with that. That was unnecessary. He didn't have to do it. I didn't think it really impacted much, but he didn't have to do it. And then didn't play all that well in that game. And then prior to that, had that whole meltdown with the kicking net and the crying on the sideline. I mean, he had a full season of soap opera type stuff. And it seems like last night, he's still the same exact guy.
Same dude,
man. He didn't learn a damn thing about what he went through last year.
He's an emotional mess. That's what he is.
Brian in Alabama next up on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Brian? Brian! Okay, oh, Brian's gone. Keith.
Dealing with the traffic, though.
Yeah, Keith in Alabama next up. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. Look, I'm right along with you as far as the Odell Beckham deal. I mean, a show's a show. And, I mean, it was like a kid looking around to see if anybody was watching before he threw his fit. where somebody can see it. Yeah. I mean, that's what it reminded me of. And now, you know, and back when I played, I mean, it was high school, but my coach went on to be one of the greatest college football coaches. He won a national championship at Jacksonville State. Bill Burgess would tell us, if you're injured, lay there. I'll come get you. But if I have to come get your ass for a leg cramp, you won't have one next week. In my 3 years, I saw one man have leg cramps, and that was one of our running backs. But you could see his arms. He would pull himself off the field. But that was just one of his rules. We didn't have any leg cramps.
Keith, I had the same experience. My first year of high school football, I thought I was injured. My coach came out and said, boy, if you ever lay your head down on this field again, it would be the last time. And it was the last time.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between being injured and being hurt. That's not allowed. I mean, when you got a player of his caliber, though, you're going to put up with a lot of things. And the drama queenness you have to put up with because he's such an exceptional athlete. But it still doesn't make it right.
Yeah, but where's his self-awareness at this point?
I mean,
why didn't you learn anything from last year? I mean, do you really think that something like this is going to go over well? I mean, do you really believe that you were going to squeeze sympathy out of everybody last night for acting in that manner?
And all this reporting, you had Lisa Salter in the tunnel, and you got everything on the Twitter. You got Schefter, and who's the other one, the insider on there? Battled cancer, is that helping? Mortensen.
Yes. Chris Mortensen,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, talking about, let's see, really? It's a little tweak of the ankle, man. It's it.
Yeah. Well,
it's not World War III.
You do need to. A guy like that goes down after a hit. You're going to have to at least try to figure out what's going on. I mean, I'm not going to get on that.
It was
trying
simple,
to find
being
the answer.
A drama queen.
Yeah, I know, and I agree with you, but these guys have a job, too. I mean, if they didn't at least keep you updated on what was happening, that would have been a bad job by them.
Put some ice on it, and he's fine.
Yeah, I'm right. But they still need to get to that conclusion. When you've got a million people on a broadcast on Monday Night Football, on a national broadcast, they're at least going to try to figure out what's going on. But I wonder this morning, you know, does Odell Beckham Jr. wake up and think that everybody is going to be hoping and, Odell, you're going to be okay? And, oh, man, is there anything I could do for you? Or does he have any idea that most people are looking at him and saying, man, that was over the top. Boy, are you a baby. What a joke. Does any of that penetrate into his world?
There are guys in that locker room that are thinking that. They were thinking it last night. They already knew that he was a drama queen and that he was over the top, overly dramatic. They were already aware of that, but they also are aware of what I've been stating all morning. He's one hell of an athlete.
Yeah.
And he's a difference maker. And so as long as you're a difference maker, I don't need to be buddy-buddy with you. I don't need to condone what you do on the field, how you act, or how over the top you are. I have to sit here and admire the way you run through secondaries and help this football team win. I leave it at that. That's the end of our relationship. You're a great football player. You get on my damn nerves with all the antics, the histrionics. But aside from that, you help us win. So I'm cool with it.
I guess the best approach if you're Ben McAdoo is to not swing it one way or the other too far. Don't be too sympathetic or too coddling with him. And then also don't take too much of a hardline stance. Like, get up, you baby. I don't think you can do that with a guy like Odell Beckham Jr. I don't think you can be Buddy
Stevens.
He's
that fragile.
Yeah, I don't think you can be Buddy Stevens from East Mississippi with Odell Beckham Jr. I think you need to. I think the best approach would be to say, you all right? All right, good. Slap on the back and go. That'd be it.
That's
you
it.
Know?
Right.
All right, let me know if you need anything. I'm going to go do something else. You know, just basically, that's it.
That's
all right?
It. Yep. You have to be pretty straightforward, simple, and move on. That's it. Can you go? You can. Okay. Don't sit there and try to get more insight into what he's trying to feel, what he's feeling, or what occurred. It's simple. Can you go? You can. Okay. It's on to the training staff. Y'all handle this. I'm done.
Right.
Simple as that.
855-212-4CBS. Your thoughts on Odell Beckham Jr. and that hit last night? Lines are open. 855-212
4227. Also have some college football to talk about next, and a radio show that did a better job than we did at keeping their Nick Saban interview very succinct.
Geo and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Last night, Monday Night Football, the Giants and the Browns. I thought that this was going to be Brock Osweiler and Sean Kizer's time to steal the headlines, but Odell Beckham Jr. had something else to say about that as he gets hit by Brian Body Calhoun, the great one. And
Botek, right?
Yes, a hokey. Mm-hmm. So he hits him low in the knees. It was not a knee injury. His foot kind of got stuck when he took the hit. Ends up being a sprained ankle. He gets up, walks, limps, goes into the locker room by himself, collapses, and then it turns out to be a sprained ankle. So we're asking you, was it a dirty hit by Body Calhoun? And is Odell Beckham Jr. being way too dramatic? 855-212-4CBS, some college football to talk about in this segment. But first, Daryl in Virginia on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Daryl?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Great, Daryl. What's on your mind?
Man, let me tell you, I'm a big-time Giants fan. Been a fan since John Brooks' local days from Michigan. I think Odell Beckham is a base. I used to be that guy playing ball. The fellas used to get on me, get your butt up and stop crying like a baby. Just a sprained ankle, play ball, or sit on the sideline. Simple as that.
You said he's been a fan since when?
I didn't hear that either.
I've been a fan since Butch Wolfolk. He was
Butch Wolfolk, yeah, Michigan, yeah. Yep. I know what you're talking about.
He was a Giant. I've been a longtime Giants fan, and I just think Odell needs to grow up. The fellas need to get on him, start talking about him real bad like we used to get talked about in front of like a baby. And I think he'll be all right. But until his boys start dogging him, ragging on him, he's going to be a big prima donna.
You know who should really, thanks for the call, Daryl. You know, it popped in my head. The guy that really needs to straighten him out is someone that has been really dramatic over his career, too, but has figured it out for the most part now in Brandon Marshall. Now, Brandon Marshall still walked out of an interview recently, and that was sort of an immature thing. But, you know, Brandon Marshall had a lot of problems. Him and Jay Cutler had a great relationship, then a falling out. And people talked about him being rough in the locker room. I mean, he speaks his mind still when it comes to the media, and he's in the media all the time, and that's a little bit of controversy. But as far as being a pro out there on the field, I think he's learned a lot in that regard. And he's not perfect, but I think he's come a long way. That could be a guy he can lean on and respect.
He never acted like Odell Beckham Jr. He had his problems off the field, and he's dealing with some health issues and things of that nature. But he never acted like a drama queen like Odell Beckham Jr. is behaving. I would say Terrell Owens, he comes to mind as someone that was always seeking attention or throwing tantrums. So maybe that's the guy that should speak to him.
Well, yeah, but Brandon Marshall's there.
I know he's there, yeah. Why. He should pull him aside. I agree. You have enough veterans on that team to pull him aside, tell him chill out, but will he listen? I don't think he will.
Well, I think that Brandon Marshall's also the guy he'd listen to.
And it's going to be interesting to see how Brandon Marshall handles this, because you have guys from his former team that were the Jets who are upset about what he was saying on his TV shows. He's going to be part of those same shows on Inside the NFL. And what will he say about this situation if you have more antics like we witnessed last night?
Yeah, and I don't know. I know that Brandon Marshall does make headlines, and he said some stuff already once he left the Jets locker room, as you mentioned, that tick them off. But I mean, a lot of the stuff that he says seems like the truth to me, though. I mean, maybe it's one of these the truth hurts type of things, but I mean,
precisely.
He doesn't seem like a guy who's gonna hide in the locker room from people and then say something on TV either. So
you would hope not as a teammate, but you would also rather he come to you first as a teammate, come to you and say, hey, this is something I'm going to have to talk about on the show, and I will couch it in this manner. won't put anything that you don't want out there in the streets, but I've got to discuss this. And so you just have to approach it in a delicate manner, especially if you're going to be someone or a so-called leader in that locker room.
Rico in Alabama next up on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Rico.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, Rico.
Yeah, man, I was over here listening about the whole Odell Beckham thing, and, you know, after watching the replay, as I was saying earlier, thinking about it, it almost seems like they're headhunting right now. You know, we had that happen a couple years ago in the league where they were, you know, taking people's numbers and basically saying, you know, get them out of the game. And I think basically that's what's going to be happening for Odell this year. I mean, after watching the hit, you know, maybe it came to a point of realization that he was down on his knees and he was thinking to himself, like, hey, this is the reality. Like, people are really going to be coming after me this year. And, you know, to take a hit like that in the preseason, I think is a very big eye-opener as well, being that it isn't even a real regular season game or postseason or anything like that. As for Brandon Marshall, man, I think maturity has reached its peak with him, and basically he's starting to see things to a different people, basically. He's seeing life differently now, and he's seeing things on a more mature aspect and taking football more serious, taking his career more serious. So I think he could have some words with Odell Beckham and basically, you know, let him know. But as we know, Odell Beckham was moving to the sideline, and, you know, Ben McAdoo was still doing his thing, play calling. You know, Landon Collins gave him his little talk right there, you know, and then kept on focusing on the game as he walked off. So,
yeah, and Rico, I appreciate your alternative take on Odell Beckham Jr., but I think you're completely off base. I don't believe that was Odell Beckham Jr. having some sort of epiphany that he's going to be a target throughout the season, and I don't believe that the hit was something that was a head-hunting type of deal. I went through it before. You got a couple options. Do you go up high where you're going to get a penalty and potentially a fine? Do you try to go a little bit lower than the head, try to wrap the guy up when you're 5'8", no doubt Beckham Jr. is bigger and stronger than you are? Or do you try to take his legs out so he, at that point, boom, goes right to the ground and the play is over, as opposed to him shaking off that tackle or bouncing right off of you and then running for a touchdown, and then you got to watch that in a film room with someone screaming at you?
One correction. Calhoun graduated from the University of Minnesota. I went to school at the University of Minnesota. Apologies there, making him a Hokie.
Well,
he's
who cares?
A gopher. Hokie gopher.
Same thing.
Gophers don't gobble. Rico, hell, I don't know where you going with that, man. Talking about the hits and the nature of the hit and how hard the hit was. And football, you have hard hits in preseason, especially guys who are out there trying to make a team. So the hit and the severity of the hit didn't bother me. That's going to happen. And, you know, what bothered me more was the antics of Odell Beckham Jr. acting as if his leg was broken and he's never going to play football again. That's what bothers me. What bothers me is you get up, you're walking off the field, no limp. Then you go back down onto the field, you get up, and now you're limping. What bothers me, you get off the bench, jog to the locker room, don't make it to the locker room, and you fall down in a squat as if, damn, something's seriously wrong with me and nothing's seriously wrong with you. That's what bothers me. It's a tweaked ankle. He's probably had many of them. I don't know why he had to act in the manner in which he did.
Alabama, once again, number one in the preseason AP poll. I don't know if there's anything that's less important right now in college football than the AP preseason poll, because you don't have the committee voting on this, because that happens much later in the season, and those are the only people that matters. You don't have any games that have been played whatsoever, and you don't have any look at these guys in any sort of game action. So every time this comes out and I hear a debate about it, I laugh.
There shouldn't be. It's a preseason poll. It's for the fans to revel in as players. You take notice if you're not mentioned in the top 25. And if you are in the top 25, great. There's some respect out there for you. And if you're not, you feel like you've been snubbed, that's motivation for you, and that's the end of it. But, of course, as a player, you'd like to be mentioned in the top 25. And all it is, you know, the media, guys like us who think we know what's going to happen during the season, and you really don't, other than mainstays like an Alabama, Ohio State, you know, the Blue Bloods are going to be in there because they've been good and they've shown over the years that they deserve to be in the top 10 or top 5 or even number 1, as Alabama has shown. Even with all the replacements they're going to have on defense, you still know Nick Saban's track record and what he's been able to put together when he's had to reload his football teams in the past. So, yeah, you make them number 1, and that's it. It's a starting point. Leave it at that and move on, see how the season plays out.
It's a reference point also mid-season when you look back and see that a team that was in the top 10 was awful.
Yeah.
You know, say, wow, this is a preseason.
Remember a couple years ago, SC was pretty much a consensus number 1 preseason pick when Lane Kiffin was there, and boom, wheels came off. Ended up unranked end of the year.
And that's basically the next time that you hear about the preseason, Paul, is when a team falls off the face of the earth and you go back and say, can you believe in the preseason? They're number 7?
Yeah, that's it.
So Nick Saban is still doing radio interviews after his hard experience with us.
Oh, it was terrible.
And what I thought was a great radio interview, but it happened to be 22 minutes long.
Which 12 minutes over the allotted time.
The allotted time that no one told us about. So we thought we had all the time. Well, it wasn't his fault. It was the PR guy never told us 10 minutes. So
it was understood. So it's our fault, right?
No, it wasn't understood. No, it was not understood.
Well, I hope to see you somewhere down the road, okay?
We'll see you down the road, Coach.
Yeah, that's a lie.
No, go rip Josh.
So he was on with Dan Patrick yesterday, 10 minutes on the dot.
That's it?
10 minutes.
Dan.
That's it.
So I got 10 minutes, dog.
If you want to hear, because I haven't played a game yet, so he's probably saying the same stuff. If you want to hear 22 minutes with Nick Saban. GeoandJones.com /audio.
Apparently he agreed with some of these anonymous coaches that he was overrated.
Oh, really?
Not overrated.
Wow.
That's bull dookie.
22 minutes of Nick Saban on Geo and Jones. Mm. That changed the history of CBS Sports Radio because that will be the last time.
We go longer and stronger.
That is right. It wasn't even our fault. But I'm happy to hear that he hasn't sworn off of radio interviews altogether. Mm. It just happens to be us.
Just us.
Because... Well,
it was worth it, right?
I think it was. We're going to get him again anyway.
You're going to do the crime and make sure it's worth the time.
Good talking to you. And
good talking to you,
and
too.
Good riddance.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see Josh.
Coming up next, the Broncos make a decision on their quarterback. And will one of us or both of us be in Vegas to watch Mayweather and McGregor? It's Geo and Jones coming right back. CBS Sports Radio.